Good morning. It's been a good day already. We could probably shut this thing down and be content with it. I'm going to open us in prayer, then we'll get started real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and all its many blessings. Lord, I thank you for the four lives that have been changed today, the decisions that were made to follow you. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. We celebrate their decisions. I ask a special prayer for Dallas and Lynn and their family. Just be with all the others that couldn't be here today for any certain reason, Lord. Just pray that you be with me as I bring your message, Lord. And I just pray that it's all about you. Just ask that you be with us and just open our hearts and our minds, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Amen. All right, so little backstory on this sermon. I was supposed to preach this in October, and Dallas's last kidney stone bout, he called me on a Thursday. He was like, "Hey, man, I'm not going to be able to make it. Can you put something together?" So I had 2 days, 3 days to get something put together, and I did. I've kind of made a deal that I'm not going to tell him no or that I'll pray about it anymore. I'm just going to say yes and let God handle the rest like he always does. But come Saturday night at about, 8 o'clock, Frankie Lynn threw up. So I had to call Dallas and go, "Sorry, bro, you're back on. We can't be there now." But he already had something started. And he was feeling better by then. So this just became my backup sermon, which I've been telling Lori for a while now that I needed to have something ready to go, just in case. So now I have to make a new one, because this is my backup sermon. But when he called me, I kind of went into panic mode, because, you better take this serious and you better do it its right justice. I racked my brain for a couple of hours, and I just couldn't come up with anything. I went back to old youth group lessons that I could turn into a sermon. I mean, I did everything for like 2 hours, and I'm supposed to be working at the same time, and I was just stressing out. So I just stopped. I just stopped, and I just decided to let it go and let God take care of it and see what he slapped me in the face with. And I went back to work. And I took a break, and I opened up Facebook, and the first thing that I saw was a verse from a ministry that I follow called Woods and Wisdom. And it's got this pastor that preaches from inside the woods on his property at his house on a big oak stump. And he just simply shared a verse. And I'm not big on like God gave me a sign, but I read the verse and I said, you know what, I can do something with that. So that's what we're going to do today. I titled this sermon, Be Strong, and we're going to study from 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. These are very short two verses. I honestly had to go back and check and make sure it was actually split up in two verses, but 14 is only four words. But it's jam-packed with a whole lot that we can unpack and apply to our lives. It reads, "Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love." We're going to unpack this, but the verse caught my attention with the last part of the first verse of verse 13, where Paul said to be strong. In my mind, I picture Paul putting a little emphasis on this to end his charge when he's writing to the church of Corinth. Just a little background. Obviously, the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, which he had already started. This is like his last advice, his last charge, his last exhortation to them. And he wanted them to take these words with them as they're going out and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know much about Corinth, Corinth is like your modern day Vegas. Wild Wild West, everything goes. It was a rough place. So a church plant in Corinth was super vital because there was plenty of harvesting to be done. It was a very, very rough place. And keep in mind as we go through this, Paul's credibility and his experience as he's speaking and writing to the Corinthians, keep in mind everything Paul's been through. He's been beat, you know, he's been stoned, all these things. So he's not speaking from, you know, hearsay or another person's sermon that he heard. Paul's speaking from experience when he's writing this letter, telling the Corinthians to be alert and be courageous and be strong, because that's what Paul's had to do throughout his ministry, day in and day out. So he starts with be alert. I've never been in the military, don't claim to be. Know a lot of people that have. Some of them are my family. But I've always had a fascination with the military and wars, specifically the Civil War and the Vietnam War. I started reading books about those two wars from an early age, probably earlier than I should have been. I don't know who was watching my whatever I was reading. But those in the Vietnam War specifically, they had to do it in all wars, but the Vietnamese soldiers were real, real sneaky. And at night, after these soldiers fought and were sweating all day because it was hot and humid, nasty conditions, at night they had to go out on two-man post in little, basically, bunkers, and they had to be on night watch. And they had these two-man teams like every 100 feet or so around the base, because at night the North Vietnamese Army would try to sneak in and attack them, obviously, because it's dark, and they were smart. And they were ruthless. So they sent these soldiers out there because on the outskirts of these bases, they had barbed wire, razor wire, all this stuff to keep them from getting in. But what they would do is they would throw what they called satchel charges, which was a bag full of explosives in these wires, and it would blow them up. Sometimes they would strap them to their chest and run in there and blow them up too. So these two-man teams around these bases would go out there, and they would have to pay attention for hours at a time, and they would shift, and they would have to stay alert, because if not, they would get killed, their buddies would get killed. It would be really bad if they fell asleep. But it amazed me at what they went through during the day, and then they were still asked to go do that at night. But it was their job. As Christians, we need to display this same type of alertness. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour." Guys, if we fall asleep and we get complacent and we don't stay on guard every day against what the devil is trying to do to us, because he's just as sneaky as those soldiers, those enemy soldiers trying to get in at night. He's going to find your weaknesses. He's going to find your hardships, your hangups, whatever it is. He's going to slide in the back door in the dark of night, and he's going to pick that area of your life apart. And just like that soldier had to protect himself and the people behind him at base, if we don't wake up and stay alert on a daily basis, not only can he get to us, but listen to me, when he gets you, it can trickle down to your spouse and your kids and your friends and your church family. Like, there's a trickle-down effect. We have to stay on guard regardless of what's going on in our life against what the devil has. The founder of Snowbird, the camp we went to in December, he coined a phrase. And it's his. I'm not taking credit for it. He said, take a day off and get mauled by a lion. Even turn it into shirts. And that's a good saying. If we take a day off, if we step back and we get complacent and we get comfortable in our walk with Christ, the devil's going, he's going to be right there. He's going to be right there just waiting for that slow moment, that weak point, and he's going to attack. We have to stay alert. Next, Paul says to stand firm. Most of you know I pour concrete for a living, and we have to pour foundations. We have to pour foundations so that buildings stand up correctly, so that they don't fall over. It's kind of important, but if I pour a footer for a metal building the same size as the base plate on the bottom of that red iron, which is about, you know, I don't know, 8 inches by 8 inches, 10 inches by 10 inches, that building's going to blow over. A building's going to blow over, and not a really strong wind, really. But if I pour that footer 2 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot deep, and I put rebar in it, and I make it strong, and I put anchor bolts in it, and I tie those anchor bolts to that metal, and I lock it in like I'm supposed to do and do my job the way I'm supposed to do, it doesn't matter if a hurricane comes through. It's not going to blow that building over because it's built the way it's supposed to be built. Same thing with our faith. When we make a decision to follow Christ, accept Him as our Savior, and accept what He did on the cross for us, the game's not over. That's just checking a box. Like, you know, I suppose you have your fire insurance, but it's time to grow a relationship, to build that foundation. Your foundation, your spiritual foundation, should never stop growing, because your relationship with Christ should never stop growing. You should pursue Him. We should pursue Him every day until we die. And the more we do that, that foundation grows. And we can't be tipped over by the things of this world. We can't be tipped over by Satan trying to get in and manipulate. Paul's a great example of this. You think, like I said, he's coming from experience. Paul could have tucked tail and ran at any point. I mean, if you get a boulder the size of a football thrown at your head, you might think twice about it too, let's be honest. Or you get whipped with a, flogged with a cat of nine tails. Then you're going to have to really examine your faith. But Paul kept going. He might go 10 miles down the road and keep preaching. Like, he might leave where he is and go down the road and preach some more, but he never quit, not until the day he got his head cut off. He stood firm in his faith. He knew what was on the line. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I really like the word immovable here. We don't hear that a lot in the Bible, but I really like it. And I think it's a characteristic that we should try to input into our relationship and our walk with Christ. Next, Paul says to be courageous. You know, the world view, like your first thought when you think of courage. And rightfully so, for most of them, you think of the military and first responders, police officers, firemen, EMTs, that actually it's their job to be courageous. And they deserve that honor, the ones that do their job right. But when I was putting this together, I was thinking, like, who else is seen as courageous, like, in our day-to-day walk? And I think about single moms. I think about people with special needs and just simply people that are looked down on for whatever reason. You want to talk about courage? These people get up and put their shoes on every day and keep going, and the world's just stacked against them. And a lot of them make the best of it. And a lot of them are some of the happiest people you ever meet. Those people are courageous, though. Joshua 1:9 tells us, it says, "Haven't I commanded you, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Guys, if our source of strength and courage is God, and He's always with us, He says it right there. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That don't mean sometimes. That don't mean when you're acting right. It means wherever you go. Once you take Him on, He doesn't leave you. If that is the case, if God's the source of our courage and our strength, and He's always right here with us, because when we take on the cross, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. If that's the case, then why do we allow ourselves to be held back from so much when it comes to doing God's work? Sometimes we're the only thing that gets in our own way from doing what God's called us to be. Trust me, I know. I used to sit right back there where Melissa sits. Glenn told me this morning, he said, "You used to be the guy that said nobody'd calling you to pray." We have to stop letting ourselves hold ourselves back. I'm about to call a couple people out. Sorry. We have a lot of examples of courageous people inside this church that we know, that we see. Tina. Y'all, Tina wasn't even supposed to drive one time, and she drove to church. And she told on herself after she got here, she said, "I wasn't even supposed to drive here." But she wanted to be here so much. She was strong enough and courageous enough to get up and get dressed and get in her car and drive to this church building just because she wanted to be here. That's courage. She's the littlest person I know. But she's full of courage. Melissa, to do what you did last Sunday. That was tough. Just leave it at that. You good? To end verse 13, Paul says to be strong. You know, when I was young, I had a definition of what I thought strength was. Y'all remember who He-Man was? Apparently she does. My own wife don't even know who He-Man was. You think of He-Man or Conan the Barbarian? Yeah, now we're talking. I thought the definition of strength was who could lift the most and who was the toughest. And I still like to lift heavy things. I tell you what, though. If I couldn't lift this Bible every day, it don't make a hoot what I can lift. Don't nobody care. But I had this definition of strength in my mind. And for a long time, that was kind of my identity. Me. And that's how I was viewed. But it was such a fake definition. Because the older I get and the more I go through, my definition of strength has changed. My definition now of strength is knowing when to talk, knowing when to shut up. And that's a hard one for me. Knowing when to fight, knowing when to let God fight your battles. I'm thankful for having a lot of strong older people in my life that I get to look up to. And there's a lot of them in this church right now. And I appreciate it because I look to y'all and it makes me be able to see somebody that's walking with God on a daily basis and doing the best you can and being as strong as you can within what He's given you. So if you're one of those people that I'm referring to, and you know who you are, and if you don't take that lightly. Because even people that are my age are still looking at y'all. And you always have an example to set, not just for little kids, not just for the children that are back there in children's church. You still have an example to me. And I and my wife and Angela and John and Stephen and Rose, trust me, it means something. Because we're looking to y'all. That's my definition of strength now, is the good, godly people in my life that I see go about their day-to-day business and they're doing their best to get out there and live the way God's asked them to live. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 tells us, says, "But He, Jesus, said to me, it's written in red, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." Then Paul continues and he says, "Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That shift in that definition of strength comes with age, because the more we age, the more we go through, the more hardships we go through, the more we endure. And the more God takes our hand and He walks us through these hard situations. Because just like it said, He's always right there beside us wherever we go. Lastly, Paul ends in verse 14 and he says, "Do everything in love." Guys, this is the most important aspect of living a Christian life. 1 John 4:8 explains in a very simple and clear way. It says, "The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Quite simply, it begins and it ends with love. From creation to the cross, everything God did for us and continues to do for us has been in love. We can do all these things that Paul is talking about to the Corinthians. We can do every single one of them really good. We can be amazing at them. We can be alert. We can stand firm. We can be courageous. We can be strong. We can have all those covered from top to bottom. But if we don't love God and we don't love people, we've drastically missed the mark. So So, church, I encourage y'all, I encourage me, I encourage us as a church to examine these things. Take your life, examine it, and see how you're doing in these areas. Just like the Corinthians had to do. When Paul wrote to them, they had to step back and say, hey, where are we lacking? Where are we strong? Take some time. Apply this verse and see where you stand. And if there is something lacking, I encourage you to work on it. I encourage us to work on it. Trust me, this has put me in my place. Studying the Bible, preparing a lesson, preparing a sermon, boy, it will step on your toes. And this one got me. So I encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just come to you again and just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you again for the four people that decided to get baptized today. Just ask, Lord, that your word goes out and it just bless somebody, Lord, even if it's just one person here. I just ask that you'll be with us as we go through our week. Be with us as we interact with other people. And I pray that we'll look for opportunities to share your word and share our testimonies and just be willing to do your work wherever we go, Lord. I just ask that if there's anybody here today that wants to make a decision to follow you, I pray that in this invitation song that they might come up and we can discuss it. I just ask that you'll be with all those that are in need, Lord, that are struggling. And I just pray that moving forward, Lord, we'll take what Paul wrote to the Corinthians and we'll be alert. We'll stand firm in our faith, or stand firm in you, Lord, and be courageous and be strong. But most of all, love others, Lord. And just ask you all these things in Christ's name. Amen.